Holding on your Owl from the Bays, about the middle of the Amud. We left off yesterday that we were discussing the Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua about when the world was created and a number of other events in world history and in Jewish history happened. Rabbi Eliezer had said the world was created in Tishrei and a number of these other significant events happened in Tishrei, and Rabbi Yeshua said in Nisan. So the Gemara points out, Ba'azdu l'taymayu, they're going according to their own reasoning that we find elsewhere when they discuss the chronology of the model. Mm-hmm. They have a similar machlokas when the Torah says that the model started in the second month, on the 17th of the month. What was it? Is it the second month counting from Tishrei, so therefore Cheshvan, or is it the second month counting from Nisan, and therefore here? Which Rashi has it. Rashi gives a long explanation over here of the chronology of the Mabul, based on the Pesukim. There's actually Rashi in Chumash gives pretty much the same information. Many other Mefoshim there on Chumash disagree on the exact chronology, but going with Rashi, the vort is like this then. The Torah says it started off in the second month, whichever that is, Cheshvan or Iyar, as the case may be, and it lasted for a year and 10 days. So that was 365 days in. In brief, you have this 40 days of rain, so running from the 17th of the second month, whichever that is, until the 27th or 28th of the third month, Kislev or Sivan, as the case may be. Then you have 150 days of the water surging, still roiling, and whenever it's no longer raining, but the water isn't starting to evaporate yet. That brings us up to the beginning of Nisan or Tishrei, as the case may be. That brings us up to the beginning of Sivan, rather, the beginning of Sivan or Kislev, as the case may be. 7 months into the Mabul now, six and a half months into the Mabul, 190 days. After that, the water gradually starts decreasing. 17 days later, the Teva lands on the mountains of Ararat. The water level keeps on going down. Eventually, the water level has gone down enough. The mountaintops are visible. This is Bas Siri Be'echa B'chodesh on the 10th month, on the first of the month. And Rashi says there that the 10th month doesn't mean the 10th month of the year, which would be respectively Tevis or Tammuz. Rather, Rashi says it means the 10th month counting from when the Mabul began. So therefore, it would be respectively of, according to Rabbi Eliezer, and Shvat, according to Rabbi Yeshua.
According to the interpretation, is the Mabul covering the whole world?
Yes, that's what we're talking about, the whole world. Yeah. Anyway, so then the mountaintops are visible. Sometime after that, 40 days after that, Noach sends out first the raven, then the dove three times, etc. It brings back the olive leaf, you know the whole story. Eventually Noach at the beginning of the 601st year, this is the key point, at the beginning of the 601st year, Noach opens up the top of the Teva. He sees the ground is dry, but he sees the ground, is the water has evaporated off the ground, but it's still muddy. Another month and 27 days pass, and then the ground is dry as it would normally be. It's firm enough to walk on. And then the Eibusha tells him to leave the table with the animals, and that's that. The key thing Rashi points out, the issue is not really over here what we consider the second month. When we say Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing according to their own logic, that the same machlokas they have, whether the world was created in Nisan or in Tishrei, is the same machlokas they have as far as the Mabul. The issue is not really what we count as the second month. The Gemara is going to ask that later. Even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that any time else when the Torah says the second month, it means year. So why would he all of a sudden and he has to defend that? So the issue over here rather is like this. What did the Torah say again? Only after 10 and a half months of the Mabul have gone by, when there's no water on the ground but it's still muddy, does it then call it a new year? Up until that point, everything has been in the 600th year of Noach's life. Now all of a sudden, the calendar page turns over at the 601st year.
Based on this.
That's what the Torah says. That's what the Torah is saying. That in the 601st year, then on the first day of the first month of the 601st year, Noach opens up the Teva and sees that the ground is dry. or not dry, but whatever, that the ground is, that there's no water on the ground. Chor v'pnei ha'adama. That the ground is crusted over, might be a good way of saying it. Now, let's say, for example, suppose according to Rabbi Eliezer that years begin from Tishrei. The world was created in Tishrei, and therefore years count from Tishrei. If, according to him, the Mabul were to have begun in Iyar, then already 5 months since the Mabul begins in the year. So then the Torah should have said that if the year begins in Tishrei, but the Mabul, according to Rabbi Eliezer, would have begun in Iyar. In other words, if we take the second month, what the Torah says at face value, the second month, you always mean Iyar, as we said back at the beginning of the Masechta, according to Rabbi Eliezer, then you'd have a problem. Why would the Torah wait until 10.5 months into the Mabul to call it the 601st year, to call it a new year? It should call it a new year already, four and a half months into the Mabul, half of the year, all seven times of Elul. The first event that's listed in the new year, which is that the water level started dropping, or actually the first dated event actually 17 days later that the Teva landed, then it should already say that's the 601st year. The fact that it doesn't do that implies, according to Rabbi Yezer, the Mabul must have begun in Cheshvan. Since the year begins in Tishrei, then yes, only from when you go from Cheshvan all the way until the following Tishrei are you at the 601st year. Similarly, Rabbi Yeshua holds the world was created in Nisan. Therefore, according to him, the years, when we talk about the 600th year, the 601st year, etc., of Noach's life, those years begin in Nisan. By the same token, then, why does the Torah only call it the 601st year when the Mabul is almost over, when the ground is crusted over? Because the Mabul began in Iyar, according to him. And only when you reach the following Nisan have you started a new year. That's what the Gemara means of a year of Azul Tamar. They're going according to their reasoning.
The Torah doesn't give the date of when the Mabul was finished?
No, it does. It says that it was the second month, the 27th day. Well, it says that the ground crusted over. It says it was the first month, the first day of the 601st year. And then a month and 27 days later, the ground is completely dried up.
It was 1 year and...
So that's what I'm saying. Altogether, the whole thing took 1 year and 10 days. And on the solar calendar, if they had the English calendar, then like we have now, you would have said the Mabul began on November 15th and it ended on November 15th, exactly a year later. The point is the fact that the Gemara is associating these two things, that Rabbi Eliezer holds the world was created in Tishrei, and therefore he says the Mabul began in Cheshvan. The reason why those two things go together is not because he's saying the second month means the second month from Tishrei. We'll discuss that later. The reason is because he said only in that way can you justify why it takes 10 months for the Torah to say that a new year has begun. Which, by the way, one more thing to talk about in this connection, and the Gemara kind of touched on it the other day when we talked about the 600th year and the 601st year of Noach's life. I mean, on the face of it, do we have to assume that Noach himself was born on Rosh Hashanah or on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, as the case may be? And the answer is no. Before the Torah was given, one of the Mefarshim says, that before the Torah was given, when we say that a person, this is the 600th year of a person's life, the first year of a person's life, we did it in the same way that we mentioned at the beginning of the Masechta, as far as the years of kings. A king's year, we said, runs from Nisan to Nisan, regardless of when he became king. The same thing, according to Rabbi Eliezer, for example, since the world was created in Tishrei, if a baby is born on Rosh Hashanah, on Aleph Tishrei, then yes, that's his first year. If a baby is born Sukkot also, his first year ends the following Aleph Tishrei, even if he's born Erev Rosh Hashanah. According to the mayor, anyway, who says that one day in a year can be considered a year, then yes, comes Aleph Tishrei, he's already in his second year. That's what we mean when we talk about Noach's 600th year and 601st year. It doesn't mean we don't know when his birthday was, but whenever it was, comes the beginning of the year. Tishrei, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Nisan, according to Rabbi Yeshua, begins a new year of his life.
So it's a calendar year. Yeah.
So it's a calendar year rather than a personal year, right?
Personal year.
This is a similar thing, actually, Rashi talks about, even possibly after the giving of the Torah. Rashi talks about at the beginning of Parshas Pekudei, the fact that we have the census that it says there they collected a half a shekel from each person from 20 to 60 to make the sockets of the Mishkan, to make the Adonim, and it came out to 603,550 people, and Rashi asked Peitochen, and we find that, this was in Tishrei when they collected all that. Later on that year in Iyo, they had the census, which is in this week's Parashah and Parshas Bamidbar, and it came up the same number. How is that? Aren't there 19-year-olds who turned 20 in between, 60-year-olds who turned older than 60? And Rashi says, but they're also, you're going according to calendar years. Anybody who was 20 when it came Rosh Hashanah is still 20 for the rest of that year, no matter when their birthday is. Anybody who was 19 then is still out, even if they had their
every year afterwards.
At least it goes for the purposes of that census. Whether it continues.
Five or 10 years later.
No, eventually. I mean, the fact is in halacha, when we say, for example, a boy becomes bar mitzvah at 13 and a girl at 12, those are personal years. You don't go going to Rosh Hashanah, otherwise, you know, everybody would be having their bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs on Rosh Hashanah.
But so, when we're saying that, listen, Noach was so many years, is that a calendar year?
That's what we're saying. We're saying, according to this, it comes out. It was not a calendar year. It was a calendar year. It was not a personal year. Whereas now, after the Torah was given, we go according to personal years.
But that changes the whole count of the creation, basically.
No, as a matter of fact, it doesn't. This is actually why, you know, when you think about it, I mean, I don't want to get too much into it because it'll take us way off topic, but think of it, for example. How do we know the years since creation? The Torah tells us. Adam was 130 when he fathered Chase. Chase was 105 when he fathered Enosh, etc. And if you add up all the years together, but when you think of it, you know, what? Did Adam father Chase exactly on his 130th birthday? Did Chase father Enosh exactly on his 150th birthday? Of course not. But what we mean is, Either it means in the 130th year, or it means after 130 complete years, whatever it is, then let's say in the 130th year, Adam was created at the beginning of the year 1, or actually the beginning of the year 2, technically, because we count the year before Ma'aseh Bereishis. So sometime in the year 131, which is 130 years later, he fathered Chase. Doesn't matter the exact date. We still, and the same thing with the next generation, and the same thing with the generation after that. It doesn't matter how many individual months and days there are in between. Adam was 130 because, as of Rosh Hashanah, well, Adam was born, Adam was created on Rosh Hashanah 5. But Chase, if Chase was born on the 27th of Tevis, it doesn't matter. Comes the following Rosh Hashanah, that's already the beginning of his second year. Comes the first day of Rosh Hashanah 103 years after that, he's in his 105th year. Sometime in that year, he fathered Enosh. And so forth. And therefore the chronology works out.
So it's just at the beginning of the count that things change.
Right. So that's the same way as we said as far as a king. I mean you can't say, you know, you can't write a document that it's in the reign of King Reuven until King Reuven has assumed the throne. But once you do, from then until the following Rosh Chodesh Nissan is his first year. From Rosh Chodesh Nissan until the end of the next Adar is his second year, etc. So, the Tanya, we learn in a bright. The pasuk says, "B'shnat sheish meis shana l'chayin Noach, in the 600th year of Noach's life, b'chodesh hasheni, in the second month, b'shiva asiyam l'chodesh, on the 17th of the month, is when the marble began." Now, what was this time? Rabbi Yeshua Omer Oisa Yom Yedzayin Be'ir. This day was the 17th of Iyar. The 17th of Iyar is Yom Shemazov Kima Shekeya Bayom. It's a day when Mazov Kima is setting during the day. Now, what does this mean? We have to give a little bit of an introduction and explain how the mazalists work. When we say that, I think we touched on this briefly before. When we say that Tishrei, that Nisan is mazal tleh and Iyar is mazal shur and so forth, what does that mean? It means those of stars that are in the background, the 12 constellations around the zodiac, around the path of the sun in the sky, the ecliptic is called in English, the 12 groups of stars surrounding that. And those groups of stars, because they look like various characters, therefore they're called by those names. The ones of Tle look somewhat like a ram or a lamb. The ones of Shur look somewhat like a bull and so forth. Now what happens is during Nisan time, or at least this is how it was. It's gradually these things change over thousands of years. But at the time when these things were set up. At the time when these things were set up, the Rambam says it was around the time of the marble, when the sun rose at the beginning of spring, on the first day of spring, the background stars there that are in the sky there would be the stars of Mazel Tov. The next month they'd be Mazel Shur and so forth, and thus going throughout the year. Now, the mazalos circle around in the sky every 24 hours. You know, in modern terms, they put it because of the Earth's rotation. In the Gemara's cosmology, in the Rambam's, whatever, it's because there's a gaugala yomi. There's a sphere, an eighth or ninth sphere, outside, beyond all the orbits of the planets and stars and whatnot, that moves in a 24-hour cycle and moves them along. Basically, yeah. Whereas in modern terms, scientists put it that the Earth rotates. Yeah. Anyway. So therefore you have like this. So let's picture, for example, at the beginning of Nisan, then Mazel Tov is in the sky first thing in the morning, as the sun is rising. 2 hours later, the stars of Mazel Pleh are higher in the sky. At that point, they're invisible. They're washed out by the sun. But you can calculate that they're there. At that point, which is it? So at that point, Mazel Sher begins rising. 2 hours after that, Mazel Toimim, and so forth. It's like a disc, right. So therefore, in a 24-hour period, the entire 12 mazalot go around two hours per mazal. Gradually, though, it slips because the you know, meanwhile the sun also has a movement of a daily movement of its own, a daily motion of its own. So therefore, by the end of the month, so actually, what it is that the sun is rotating the earth, is revolving around the earth. Yeah. Right. So. Gradually, you have on the first day. Then, on the first day of spring, then the sun rises exactly in front of Mazel Pleh. The next day, the stars of Mazel Pleh are a little bit offset. They've actually risen a minute or two later, and so forth. And so by the end of the month, you have already it's the next Mazel is rising as the sun is rising. Now, Kima is a group of stars, usually they're identified as the Pleiades, which is close to, Rashi describes that it is Znav Pleh, it's the tail of Pleh, meaning it's at the tail end of Pleh as the next one, the bull, is starting to Taurus, is starting to rise. So what happens? So Rashi explains them like this. Tosis explains it a little differently, and we'll talk in a minute how Tosis explains this Gemara. So if we figure then, if we calculate it, then it comes out that in Eir, Mazel Sher is the one rising at the same time as the sun is rising, which means Mazel Pleh, which is the previous Mazel, was already 2 hours ahead. Mazel Pleh is already 30 degrees up in the sky. It's still rising. I mean, it still rises until it reaches its highest point in the sky and then starts setting. But Rashi says it's still called Shekeya. It's still called the setting because it's like it's trending towards its setting position. You would call it. All of them go east to west. All of them go east to west. Like the sun, yeah. But even though you have this Kima, which is the tail end of Tleh, even though physically it's rising in the sky, at 8 o'clock in the morning it's here, at 10 o'clock in the morning it would be here, etc., we still call it Shekeya, we still call it setting, because it's like it's going towards setting position. As opposed to when it's below the horizon, it's about to rise, we call that Ola, we call that it's rising. That's Rashi's explanation. Tosfos says that Shekeya means exactly what it sounds like. Shekeya means below the horizon, and Ola means above the horizon. So Tosfos flips around the Girsa and the Gemara over here of what Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, how they respectively explain the Gemara over here, or what they say were the astronomical conditions. Well, let's first go with Rashi. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, the Mabul then began on the 17th of Adar, Yom Shemazel Kima Shekeya Bayom. This is the day when Mazel Kima is setting during the day. Again, a regular Gemara. Mazel Kima is setting in the day in the sense that it's already above the horizon in Eir, because it's the big, because again, Kima, the tail end of Tleh, is not going to be yet above the horizon in Nisan. Only in Eir is it above the horizon when the day begins. And then throughout the day, it's moving towards the west. In Rashi's terminology, that it's setting. So Kima, throughout the day of the 17th of Eir, that time of year, Mazel Kima is setting during the day. Umayonis mismatin, and during that time of year also, the springs become less, because it's already the dry season. There's no rain in Eretz Yisrael and Bavo and places like that with a Mediterranean climate during the spring. So the springs have gotten filled up nicely during the winter. Now already in the spring, they're starting to weaken. Their flow is starting to diminish. And so since the people of the Dura Mabul changed around their ways, they acted unnaturally, as we know from the Midrashim, they did all kinds of errors, including with other people, with other genders, even with other species, etc. So because they during the time before the Mabul. Right. So because of that, Shina HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem Ma'aseh Bereishis, the Eibishter changed around for them the normal workings of creation. The Hel Mazel Kima Bayom, instead Hashem made Mazel Kima come up during the day. Instead of, as we're saying, according to Rashi, throughout the day in Eo time, Mazal Tima is moving in the sky towards its setting position. Instead of Shemneda, that it's rising. It's below the horizon, and it's coming up.
On a clock,
it would be the equivalent of like
12.
Yeah.
Rather from.
No, because according to Rashi, Shekeah means that basically, Oila basically, according to Rashi, means it's below the horizon, about to rise.
According to
Rashi, where Shekeah means it's above the horizon and already starting to trend towards its setting position.
Okay.
So let's say, for example, on a clock, according to Rashi, Oila would be, for example, anywhere from 3 to 9, and Shekeah would be anywhere from 9 to 3.
3 to 9 below?
Yeah, below, because then it's going to come up above the horizon,
and then go up from...
And then once it comes up above the horizon, it's called Shekeah already, because it's trending towards it. It's going to be setting.
You don't see it from that.
You don't see it, but you can calculate that it's there. And you can't see it when it's below the horizon either, for that matter.
According to Tosfos,
flips around the Girsa over here, that according to Rabbi Yeshua, Yud Zayin Iyar is the day when Mazal Pima is rising during the day. Which Tosfos says it means rising in the simple sense, because Mazal Pima is in the sky already at about 7 or 8 in the morning. Throughout the day, it's in the sky. That's called Oli. Let's say, yeah.
Instead of Rashi, 3:30.
It basically Tosfos is defining Ola and Yod pretty much exactly the opposite of how Rashi defines them. Yeah.
Anti-clockwise.
Yeah. One more detail we need to know. The Gemara mentions in Brachos, there's two constellations that are important for this purpose. Actually, three. The Gemara mentions in Brachos that figure in the model. There's Kima, which we're talking about over here, which is the Pleiades. That's, by the way, if you ever, next time you see it, the Pleiades. In English, it's called Pleiades. I don't know how it's pronounced in English. Whatever, yeah. If you ever look at a Subaru, that's their logo, is the constellation called the Pleiades. What? No, not that's Pegasus you're thinking of. That's a different one. So there's Kima. There's another one which figures in this connection called Psil, which usually they identify as Orion. And there's another one which the Gemara mentions there in Barakah is called Osh, which the Ibn Ezra says that Osh is the bear, which is what we call nowadays the big and the little dippers. The Gemara mentions there in Barakah that Kima is associated with cold. Kima, the influence of Kima causes there to be cold in the world. The influence of Ksil causes heat. And then Osh, the Gemara doesn't identify over there exactly what Osh does. There's a vort from the Vilna Gaon, which I'll talk about soon, that says that Osh is the moderating one that makes it that the climate should be average.
Kima is the tail of the
sled. Kima is the tail of the sled. Ksil is, I guess, diametrically opposed to it.
Which is
what? So, like I said, usually they identify it as Orion. You can see Orion is pretty noticeable in the sky. You have a belt of three stars. Not Aries, Orion.
Orion,
yeah. It's pretty readily identifiable in the sky if you go any place where you're able to. And Osh is, according to Ibn Ezra, is the bear, which is the big with a little dipper. What the Gemara says in Brachos, which fits together with our Gemara here, is like, let's learn our Gemara over here, and then we'll talk about what it says in Brachos, about how it relates to it. So the Eibishter changed around Maisa Bereshis, he's saying. The hail of Mazal Kima Bayom, the Eibishter made Mazal Kima come up during the day. The Nothel Shnei Kechavim Mikima, he took two stars out of Kima, the Hebi Mabel Olam, and through that he brought a marble to the world, so to speak. Like the removal of the stars from Kima created a hole, which then the Eibishter poured down the water of the marble to. Rabbi Eliezer says the marble began on the 17th of Cheshvan, which is the day when Mazal Kima is coming up during the day. Again, according to Rashi, that means that it's below the horizon, because now we're talking 6 months later. At six months after Nisan, Mazal Tle, of which Kima is a part, is setting at the end of the day. But that means in Rashi, so by Cheshvan already, it's below the horizon when the night begins. Or it's below the horizon, rather, when the day begins. But according to Rashi, that's called Oila in the sense that now it's trending towards where it's going to be rising. It's not going to actually rise until the end of the day, or until about the end of the day. But in Rashi's terminology, that's called rising. According to Tosfos, it's the other way around. Since Tosfos flips around the Girsa, they're saying that Mazal Kima is Shekeah by Yom during Cheshvan. It's setting during the day in Cheshvan because it's below the horizon.
Is more correct.
Either way is a correct description. It just depends what you call Ola and Yoreh.
Well, I mean,
if it
means it sinks.
But Shekeia can also mean that it's trending towards the sinking position. It's Shekeia. But eventually it's going to sink.
But that's a bit of a confusion.
Okay. Umayonis Misgabrim, and during that time of year, at the 17th of Cheshvan, the springs in the ground are stronger, because that's already the rainy season, so they're already starting to get replenished with rain. Here also, by the way, with this thing about the springs, Tosfos flips around the Girsa. Tosfos explains that, on the contrary, Iyar time, the springs are at their full strength because they're full of all the melted snow that's melting at the beginning of the spring. Cheshvan time, already after a long, dry, hot summer, the Mayonis are very low. Anyway, since the people of the marble, of the dirt of marble, changed around their ways, they acted unnaturally. The Eibush changed around for them the normal order of creation. The Hela Mazel Kima Bayomi brought up Mazel Kima during the day. The Nathar Shneke Chavim Mekima, and he took two stars out of Kima. The Hebi Marble Oilam, and he brought a marble to the world. This business about the two stars, then, here's where the Gemara in Brachas comes in, which explains like this. First of all, the Gemara explains there this business about that Kima and Ksil are two opposing opposites. Kima it causes there to be cold, and Ksil causes there to be heat. So the Eibushter balances them out against each other, so there isn't global climate change. You know, there isn't global warming or global cooling, as the case may be. In this case, when it came to the marble, the Eibushter took two stars out of Kima, thus weakening it. Meaning weakening the power of Kima to cool off the world. Therefore, Ksil overpowers it. Therefore, the influence of Ksil overpowers, and all of a sudden, there's a boiling hot marble, as the Gemara is going to say soon. What happened at the end? What happened at the end of the marble? Kima is cooling.
It's cooling, I'm sorry.
And Ksil is heating. So you take it away. You take away two stars out of it, then you raise the thermostat. Yeah, you not raise the thermostat. You lowered the air conditioner. You've lowered the air conditioner, so all of a sudden now the heat is going. Yeah. So what happens, the Gemara says in Brachas, at the end of the marble, instead of just putting back those two stars in Kima, the Eibushter took two stars out of Osh, or Ayish, which is, as we said, the bear, the bigger Little Dipper, and used those to plug the hole in Kima. And from then on, the Gemara says there in Brachas, from then on, Osh is upset, so to speak, and like constantly following Kima around and demanding back her children.
Osh has no eating or cooling power.
So that's the Vilna Gaon says of Art that I saw, that Osh is the moderating influence. If Osh were in its original perfect state, then the climate would always be the same. And that's how it was before the marble. We know from the Midrashim that we learned as a little kid, that before the marble, there was always spring-like weather all year round. Once the Eibushter took two stars out of Osh in order to plug Kima, so fine, you don't have runaway global warming from Ksil anymore, but you also don't have, it veers back and forth from the cold of Kima to the heat of Ksil, because now you don't have Osh, the influence of Osh is not strong enough to moderate things. Only Limos the Mashiach, the Gemara says, then Eibushter will fix things up. Yeah. So we see from this whole description then that Rabbi Eliezer is saying that the marble took place in Cheshvan, and it began in Cheshvan, and Rabbi Yeshua says it began in Eden, which we were saying before matches what they're saying about the world being created in Tishrei and Nisan respectively. So now the Gemara asks, Bishleim lo Rabbi Yeshua hainu d'chtiv sheni. I can understand according to Rabbi Yeshua then why the pasuk is saying that all this took place in the second month. Throughout the Torah, whenever the Torah says the first month means Nisan, the second month means Iyar, etc. So yeah, the second month means Iyar. Elo lo Rabbi Eliezer mai sheni. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, why is it called the second month? It's called the eighth month. The answer is sheni l'din. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the world, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, the world is created in Tishrei. There's no question we count the month. Tosfos points out there's no question even according to Rabbi Eliezer we count the month from Nisan. Always from Nisan.
Tishrei is the beginning.
Yes, I mean the fact is, for example, when the Torah says, when we learned the other day, for example, the Torah says that Sukkot takes place by Chodesh Shvi. There's no question Sukkot is in Tishrei, not in Nisan. Even according to Rabbi Eliezer. Yeah. So how can Rabbi Eliezer rather say that sheni means Cheshvan? The answer is sheni l'din. It means it's the second month since the din. What does that mean? Rashi says it means since the Eibushter judges the world, Rosh Hashanah that year, the Eibushter had determined, you know what, this is it. Forget about it. Lo yadin ruchi ba'adam, there's going to be a marble. The second month after that, in Cheshvan, the marble actually began. That's what the pasuk means by calling it Chodesh Hasheni. From when the Eibushter judged that there should be a marble. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be the same Sheni. It doesn't have to be the same Chodesh Hasheni as it means in the rest of Tanakh. Which, by the way, Mepharshim point out. I mean, Mela Rabbi Eliezer would agree that after the Eibush said a Chodesh Hazelochem, after the Eibush declared Nissan the first of the month for us, okay, well then of course you start counting from Nissan. Why would Rabbi Eliezer have to? Why do we need to defend Rabbi Eliezer? Let him just say, fine, before the Torah was given, the months were counted from Tishrei, since the world was created in Tishrei. The answer is. But that's the question. Why does Rabbi Eliezer even have to defend it and say, why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer just say very simple? Before the Torah was given, they counted the months from Tishrei. The answer is, they say, who wrote the Torah? Moshe, at the Eibush's dictation. In Moshe's times already, and this is after Achodesh HaZalachem, he's writing the Torah for the sake of the Jewish people, it's after Achodesh HaZalachem, the first month is Nisan. So in that case, even if in Noach's time they called Cheshvan the second month, by the time Moshe is writing down the whole story 700 to 800 years later, he should be writing Bachodesh Hashmini to match how we call it now. The fact that he didn't, that's the question, and that's the answer that Rabbi Eliezer would say, we didn't have to change it because it means Sheni Ledin. It means the second month since the Eivishta judged the world and decided there's going to be a marble. Next question. Next, Bishleim Rabbi Yeshua Ayin Bishina. We can understand according to Rabbi Yeshua what the change was. Now everybody agrees there was a change because we said that Abishah took two stars out of Kima. But okay, that's not a major change. When Rabbi Yeshua is saying that normally Mazal Kima would be setting during the day, and instead the Eibush made it rise during the day in order to take the two stars out of it, etc., that's a major change. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, when the Braisa is saying that Mitoch Shinu Ma'aseim, Shina HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh B'Reishis, the Eibush switched around the normal order of things and brought up Kima during the day, according to that's the Shina. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the change? Just the fact that he took two stars out of Kima, that's not such a big change. Again, Tosfos' gear says the other way around. Tosfos' gear says, on the contrary, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we understand what the Shinui was, because again, Tosfos explains, Tosfos' gear say in the Gemara over here, is that in Cheshvan Mazel, that in Cheshvan Mazel Kima is rising, and in Nisan it's setting. Or the other way around, actually, that in Nisan it's rising and Cheshvan it's setting. So then it would be the other way around, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, if normally it's setting during the day, if normally during the day Kima is setting in Cheshvan and said the Eibush brought it up, then that's not a big change. But according to Rabbi Yeshua, what would it be?
Basically,
the change is opposite from Rashi. Yeah. The answer is, Kidr of Chista. The change was actually like what Rav Chista describes, the Amar of Chista, they sinned, the people of the Dor HaMabul sinned with boiling hot passion. And in particular, it's brought in a number of places. The Dor HaMabul. Before the Mabul, they were involved in Znus and everything. There's a boiling hot Yetzahara for it. In many places also, in many Sfarim, it also talks about the idea that specifically the Roishchin that we're talking about over here is they were into Ashchatas Zera, they were into wasting and into wasting seed, which is also called Roishchin because it comes out very hot. Over Roishchin Nidonu, and so they were punished with heat. They were punished with boiling water. That's the Shina, that normally rain falls cold, and here hot rain fell, and also the prophet says the underground vents, the underground fountains opened up, and boiling hot water came out of them. That's the Shina, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Veroischin kilkalu ba'avera. We said they did wrong with Roishchin, that means with Avera, specifically with Znuf. Over Roishchin Nidonu, how do we know? Ksiv ha'chavayah shoyku amoyim. The pasuk says by the marble that eventually the water calmed down after the 40 days and 150 days. The water calmed down. And then we have in Megillas Esther the king's anger calmed down. It's using the same shodesh by shoyku and shachacha. Anger is hot. Chamaset bar aboy. But therefore, if we're calling it by shoyku amoyim, the implication is that the water was hot and then now it started gradually cooling down after the 190 days. Halfway through the marble. Tana Rabbanan, Chachmei Yisrael Moinim LaMabul to Rabbi Eliezer, V'LaTkufa K'Rabbi Yeshua. The Jewish Chachamim count the marble according to Rabbi Eliezer and the Tkufa according to Rabbi Yeshua. Meaning, when it comes to the marble, and when it comes in general to dating Ma'aseh B'Reishis, we go according to Rabbi Eliezer. We say the marble therefore began in Cheshvan, the world was created in Tishrei, etc., as we say, Ayyam Tchilas Ma'asecha. When it comes to the Tkufas, though, we count according to Rabbi Yeshua. When it comes to counting with the zero point of the Tkufas, we start from Nisan. one of the implications of that is, it's because of that that we have Birkas HaChama every 28 years in Nisan. If we weren't according to Rabbi Eliezer, we would have Birkas HaChama in Tishrei. But what's Birkas HaChama is we're celebrating and we're making a bracha for the fact that the sun has returned approximately to its original position at the same time that it did when the Eibishter created it on Tuesday night. And therefore we make the bracha Wednesday morning. According to Rabbi Eliezer, we would have to make it in Tishrei. There's other mepharshim will explain a little differently what Latkuch Rabbi Yeshua means. But the non-Jewish chachamim count even the mabul, meaning the creation of the world and everything, even from Nissan like Rabbi Yeshua. So they don't hold of Rabbi Eliezer. They don't hold of Rabbi Eliezer at all. And why is that, Taka? Among other things, why, Taka, do we make this distinction between why are we trying to make this distinction between the creation and the tkufas, for example? There's a lot of interesting things that Mepharshim say on that. First of all, Tosfos says that we may agree, our Chachamim may agree that the world was created in Nisan, like Rabbi Yeshua says, but the fact is, since Tishrei is such an important time, it's the Rosh Hashanah for years, and Shemitim, and Yovelos, etc., so we assume that we count the Mabul and other significant events in history, including creation, from Tishrei. Where the Goyim, the Aruch Laner adds this whole concept that Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of Tishrei, we learn from Torah Shabbat Peh. The Goyim don't have Torah Shabbat Peh, therefore they don't hold it. They just do everything from Nisan. So actually I saw an interesting reference that actually there are Goyish authors from the times of the Gemara who wrote about the Mabul as they had it, the version of it that they had in their mythologies and whatever, and they consistently described it as beginning in the spring. So we see, right. On a deeper level, why is it? So again, one idea is the Aruch Laner's idea that only according to our Chachamim is there significance to Rosh Hashanah. According to the Goyish Chachamim, there's no specific significance to Tishrei, so therefore they discount everything from Nissan. There's an idea that we say that both Nissan, when spring is beginning and the world is coming back to life, and Tishrei, when the fall, when everything is starting to die, are significant in our history. We rise and then we fall and then we rise again. The Goyim rise and fall and that's it. A Goyish empire disappears and that's the end of them. So therefore, they don't see any significance in Tishrei. Like for them, Tishrei is not a beginning. For them, Nisan is a beginning. For us, both Nisan and Tishrei represent beginning. Because for them, they have Nisan. When an empire or a country or whatever is starting to blossom and civilization and everything. But then eventually comes the Tishrei. That culture, that society, whatever gets old and dies, and that's the end of it. Whereas we have our Nisans and we have our Tishreis, but our Tishrei is also a beginning. I don't know. So that's one idea. There's an idea also that Tishrei has significance for us because it's when we crown Hashem as king. It's the more ruchniistic month in with all the Yom Tovim that we had. And like we said yesterday, it's called Yerach HaYisonim, the power packed month. The Goyim don't have any of them of that. For them, the most important thing is nature is coming back to life. That's Nissan, but therefore they count everything from Nissan. Back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah had listed among the things that take place on Rosh Hashanah, the things for which Aleph Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah. We said l'yirokos, for vegetables. What does that mean? Tana, the Gemara says, we learn in a braisa, l'yirokos ulamaisris for the nedarim. It means for vegetables and for maiser and for nedarim, which we'll define soon what we mean as far as nedarim. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? L'yirokos ma'ininu ma'isiyarek. What do you mean for vegetables? What's the significance of a Rosh Hashanah for vegetables? Has to be the significance of it as far as ma'iser. The Torah tells us that ma'iser has to be taken only from that year's produce. You can't take mice from one, just like we said the other day about animals, you can't take from one year's animals on the next year's animals. That's why you need a cutoff date, Rosh Chodesh Elul, or Horns of Rabbi Eliezer and Rav Shimon, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. The same thing, you need a cutoff date for vegetables and for any kind of thing that grows from the ground. When we say a Rosh Hashanah for vegetables, it means a Rosh Hashanah for their Meiser. As we're going to say soon, if you have vegetables from before Rosh Hashanah and vegetables after Rosh Hashanah, you have to take separate Meiser. It won't be one.
But we spoke already about the Meiseris.
That was Meiser of animals we talked about. Now we're going to, but that's the question. Hainu Meiseris. So in that case, that's the same thing as Meiser. Why is Braisa listing them separately? The Braisa is saying, La Yerokos or La Meiseris or La Nadarim. What is Meiseris if not the Meiser of Yerokos? The answer is, Tana Dirabanan Bakatani Dirabanan. The Braita is first telling us vegetables, which are Dirabanan, to take Truma and Maisa from them, and then it mentions Maisris, meaning Maisa, which is on things which is Dirabanan. There is, but. That's what we're going to say in a second. That's the Gemara's question. The list is Dirabanan Bereisha. Why don't we say the Dirabanan thing first? The answer is, on the contrary, Aidi de Chaviva Le Akhtama, because it's more precious, he mentioned it first. Something that we learn from Dirabanan, rather than from explicit Pasuk, is more important. Even the Eishit says, Chaviva Nalai Diversitim Yosim Diver Torah. The Eishit says, the words of the Chachamim are more precious to me than the words of the Torah. Yeah, I mean, as far as practical halacha, we have, for example, things that Dirabanan we usually treat more leniently than things that are Dirabanan. But as far as that we learned it out by Torah Shabbat Peh, that's more important to us in a way than something that we can just read from a pasuk that anybody can do. So therefore, yes, the thing that Rabbanan is more important. By the way, there is by the way a big machloekas Rishonim. What exactly is chayev and what exactly is not chayev in Meiser Min HaTorah? Definitely, we're saying over here the Gemara says that vegetables are only chayev in Meiser Min HaTorah. On the other hand, there's no question that since the Torah mentions all the time about when it talks about Meiser, it always uses the expression Dagan Tirish for Yitzo, grain, wine, and oil. So there's no question those things are chayiv in Meiser Min HaTorah. All right. Whereas vegetables are definitely Dirabanan. The question is everything else in between. What about other kinds of fruit? What about even maybe even grapes and olives if you're not pressing them to make wine and oil? What about the various kinds of kidneys? So Rashi discusses later on, and Tosfos has a whole long discussion over here, whether these other things are chayev in Truma and Maisim and Atorda. And Tosfos ends up saying that no, the only things that are chayev in Truma and Atorda are grain, grapes, and olives. Everything else is Dirabanan.
Dagan,
Tirosh, V'yitzah. Whereas the Rambam holds the other way around. The Rambam holds that any kind of fruit is chayiv in Truma and Maisim and Atzera. Only vegetables, as we're saying over here, are Dirabanan.
Any kind of fruit. Based on what?
That's how he understands the relevant Gemaras and the relevant things in Sifri. Obviously, each side has proofs for their position. And then there's a range of other possibilities in between. There are Rishonim who argue that maybe certain things are only chayiv and maisim and atzera but not truma, or that there's a difference between maybe that only the shivas aminim. There's an opinion that one of the Rishonim attributes to the Ravid that says that only the shivas aminim are chayiv and atzera, everything else is dirabanan, etc. So the Gemara asked the Tana Didan, okay, so why did our Tana leave out Maestris? Why did our Tana of our Mishnah only mention Yerokas? The answer is Tana Rabbanan, B'chol Shekein D'Oraisa. On the contrary, our Mishnah mentioned only Yerokas, which are Rabbanan, and from that we can make a Kol Shekein that the same thing. Once we know that even vegetables, which are only Chayiv and Truma and Maestris and Rabbanan, have a cutoff date, then how much more so anything else, which is Chayiv D'Oraisa, for sure has a cutoff date, and we assume it's the same date. How b'chol we know that the same date is actually Mefarshim asked. I mean, with all the other things that I mentioned in the Mishnah, the Gemara has asked for a proof for it. We didn't really bring any kind of proof for this. So Tosfos back on this idea that the cutoff for Meiser is Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara seems to take it as a given. Unlike all the other things we asked, how do we know that the Rosh Hashanah of Kings is Nisan? How do we know that the Rosh Hashanah of Maaseh Behemah is Elul, etc.? Here, the Gemara just seems to be taking it as a given. And the answer is, Tosfos talks about that there's a greater shava between the word Shana, Merishas Hashanah, and also that there's an association between Shemitah and Maaseh, and since the Gemara explained already that Shemitah begins the Rosh Hashanah, because we learn from that pasuk Merishas Hashanah, then the same thing applies to Maaseh.
So
the Hekesh,
yeah.
The question is, you might ask, Velitni Meiser. Okay, why does the Braisa say Meiserois in the plural rather than just Meiser? The answer is Echad Meiser Behemah, Echad Meiser Dagan. It means both, It means both meiser of animals and meiser of and meiser of grain. The b'risa is according to Rabbi Shimon, because according to Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, because according to everybody else, Rosh Hashanah Ma'aser came as a month earlier, Rosh Chodesh Elul. So Tosfos explains what the Gemara meant to the law differently. Our Mishnah couldn't have used the word Ma'aseris, because then you would assume that it means Ma'aser Behemah as well. So our Mishnah left out the word Ma'aseris altogether and left out the word Ma'aser in order that the why instead of mentioning Yerokos, why didn't the Mishnah just say Ma'aser? And the answer is it didn't want to say Ma'aser, because then that would imply Ma'aser Behemah as well,
which is
not. That's only according to Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon. Stam Mishnah is it's Rosh Chodesh Elul. The Gemara asks, listen to Yerek. Okay, so why didn't it say Yerek in the singular? Why Yerokos in the plural? The answer is Tshrei Gavni Yerek. There's two kinds of vegetables, meaning there's two stages. Besides, we're talking over here about the year, about the cutoff for Ma'aser, but there's a different cutoff that comes to vegetables and that comes to all kinds of fruit, which we're going to start talking about now, which is a point when fruit or vegetables or whatever becomes chayav in Ma'aser. We talked about this in Beisa, that there's different stages. Basically, when something is finished being processed, then it becomes chayav in Ma'aser. Gemara Melacha, then it becomes chayav in Ma'aser. And when it comes to vegetables, there's two different kinds. We even more than two different kinds. That's not, we learn in Mishnah, in Ma'aser. Yerek ha-negad mishayogid, vegetables that are tied together, meaning that Rashi says vegetables that are normally tied together, like carrots, when do they become chayav in Ma'aser? Mishayogid, when you bind them together. Vishayin and negad, ones that are not normally tied together, like tomatoes. Mishimala is a kli when you fill up a container with them.
What difference does it make?
The point is, each major type of vegetable has its own point when it becomes chayiv and meiser. The point that the Mishnah and the Braisa are telling us by using the word Yerokos plural is even though there's that difference, even though carrots have a different stage when they become chayiv and meiser than tomatoes, carrots is when you tie a bunch together, and tomatoes is when you fill up a box with them, and Tosfos adds one more, what if you're not planning to fill up a box, and it's just when you fill up however many you need. Nevertheless, when it comes to the cutoff for meiser, when we say that a certain year for meiser ends and the next one begins, they all have the same one. It's all Rosh Hashanah for all of them.
Even though you do it differently for each one, right?
Tanan Abanan. Likit Yerek Erev Rosh Hashanah Tzolei Tavei Hashemesh. If somebody picked vegetables Erev Rosh Hashanah before the sun went down, because of Likit Mishtavei Hashemesh, and then he picked more after the sun went down, which what does that mean? Tosfos says we're talking about that a goy picked it. The Me'iri says it could be even a yid picked it, but he did an aveira picking it, but nevertheless it's still chayiv and meiser. And other mafarshim, I think the Ritzvah just says very simple. It doesn't necessarily mean that night of Rosh Hashanah. It just means any time during the following year, because Rosh Hashanah is the cutoff point. It doesn't make a difference whether you pick the second set of vegetables the night of Rosh Hashanah, whether you picked it at Sum Gedalia, or whether you picked it at the end of Tishrei. That's what I'm saying. Tosfos says that with a goy, and the Me'iri says that it's talking about a yid who did an aveira. And the Ritzvah says that you don't need any of the above. It just means Mishatari Hashemesh is just for parallelism, but it means any time after Rosh Hashanah began. So Matzei Rosh Hashanah, or Matzei Yom Kippur, or Yisroel Chag Sukkot, or whatever it is. The point is, Ein Tomin U'Ma'asrin Mizal Zeh. You cannot do Truma and Meister from one on the other. The point is that when it comes to vegetables, let's clarify so we don't get it mixed up. There's two different things. There's what year does a vegetable belong to, as far as which meiser do you have to give from it. As the Gemara is going to say now, you have different meisers from different years. That depends on when it's picked. So if you pick before Rosh Hashanah and after Rosh Hashanah and after the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, then they belong to two different years.
Why do we make a difference between picking the vegetable and rooting for the trees?
Because rooting for the trees actually we talked about as far as Arla. Later on, we're going to talk about, when we talk about Chamisha Asa B'Shvat, when we talk about Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon, that's when we're going to get to, actually we'll get to in the Gemara in the next couple of Dafim, about that fruit has a different point. It's when it's one-third, for the most part, for fruit, it's when it's one-third grown. We'll get to that over the next couple of days.
But ground vegetables, it's only picking?
It's only picking, right. So So at that point, for example, so that's what we're saying. If you pick vegetables erev Rosh Hashanah, then they belong to the previous year. If you pick Sum Gedalia, or even if you had a goy pick them on Rosh Hashanah night, then they belong to the following year, as far as Maaser, as far as what Maaser you should give from them. Then we have what we were just talking about. At what point do those vegetables become Chayev and Maaser in the sense that you can't take out one and eat it as a snack, like we learned in Besa? That point, we said, is if they're the kind that are tied together, that's when they're tied together, and if not, then when you fill up a box, when you fill up a container. Because you're not allowed to take truma and ma'aser from new produce on old or from old on new, and since Rosh Hashanah is the dividing line, then that's considered old and new respectively. And one more detail, if it was, for example, the end of the second year and about to go into the third year, so you picked one bunch of carrots out of Rosh Hashanah at the end of the second year, and you picked the next bunch of carrots after Rosh Hashanah began of the third year, then not only are we saying there are different batches as far as you have to take ma'aser separately from each one, but it's a different kind of ma'aser. Shnia ma'aser rishon or ma'aser sheni, the ones from the second year, the first batch, you take ma'aser rishon, which you give to Levi, and ma'aser sheni, which you take to Yerushalayim. Shlishis, and the ones you picked in the third year, is ma'aser rishon or ma'aser ani. You take ma'aser rishon and give it to Levi, and ma'aser ani, and you give it to the aniyim.
The second year, rishon and ma'aser sheni.
It goes like this. The first year after Shemitah, let's talk in concrete terms. Let's go back to the last Shemitah year, which was Tavshin Samach Ches. Tavshin Samach Ches was the Shemitah year. Tavshin Samach Ches was the first year. Ma'aser Rishon and Ma'aser Sheni. Tavshin Ayin also, second year. Ma'aser Rishon, Ma'aser Sheni. Tavshin Ayin Aleph was the third year. Ma'aser Rishon, no Ma'aser Sheni that year. Ma'aser Oni instead. You
Rishon Sheni, Rishon
and Oni. Then you continue. You have the same cycle goes again the following 3 years. Tavshin Ayin Beis, Ayin Gimel, Ayin Dalet. This year, Tavshin Ayin Dalet is the sixth year. If you're growing produce in Eretz Yisrael, you're taking off Ma'aser Rishon and giving it to the Levi, and Ma'aser Ani and leaving it for the poor people. You're not doing Ma'aser Sheni. Next year is Shemitah year, and Shemitah is Shemitah. There's no Ma'aser. Yeah.
So Rishon Sheni, Rishon Ani.
And again, Rishon Sheni, and Rishon Ani. Now we have now the Gemara is going to now this is a known fact in halacha throughout Shas, but here the Gemara is going to give us the source of this concept that it varies from year to year. Menahan Emili, how do we know this? Amar Rav Shimon Levi, the pasuk says like this: Kisachala Laser et Leskomasa Tuas Chavashana Shlishis. When you finish taking off the Maaser from all your produce in the third year, because like we talked about in Beisa, Tosfos had mentioned the concept. You don't always have to give your Truma and Maaser right away. You brought in your whole harvest, you put it in your barn, you put it in your silo or whatever, and you leave it there a couple of years, and then you're not eating it. You can't eat it because it's Hevel. But eventually you'll get around to taking off the Truma and Maaser. You have until the third year of the cycle and the sixth year of the cycle to do that.
Grain
keeps for a while. We have an Achik's Parashabah, Chaltim Yoshan Noshan, right? You'll eat aged grain and it'll be good, yeah. So when you finish taking off all the Maaser from your produce, Bashon Ashlishis, in the third year, Shnat HaMaaser, and the Torah calls it the year of Maaser. Now what does that mean? It means Shana Sha'enba Ela Maaser Echad. It means it's a year when there's only one of the two Maasers that you had in previous years.
Yeah,
because Ani is a new Maaser that we didn't have in a previous year. Right. Meaning, okay, it's that Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. It means that in that third year you have Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. Maaser Sheni, Yibatel, and Maaser Sheni goes away
for that year.
Oy Eina Ela Maaser Rishon Nami Yibatel. So how do you know? Maybe it means Shnasa Maaser. Maybe there's only one Maaser that year. We know there's Maaser Ani because the Torah said you take the Maaser and you give it to the Aniim. But how do we know? Maybe it means there's no Maaser Rishon that year either. There's only one Maaser. Now, Talmud Lomar, we have a different pasuk at the end of Parshas Korach. You should speak to Levim and tell them, when you take from the Israelim the Maaser, asher nasati lachem me'itchem, benachalaschem, which I gave you from them as your inheritance. I mean, remember, the Levim don't have an actual inheritance in Eretz Yisrael, they just have the Orem Mikla. This Maaser Rishon is considered their inheritance. Meaning, the pasuk is comparing Maaser Rishon to an inheritance. Ma nachla ein lahesik, just like a nachla, an inheritance has no end. It goes from generation to generation. Ach Maaser Rishon ein lahesik, the same thing, Maaser Rishon, there's no break in it. Every year is Maaser Rishon, except for Shemitah. I mean, Shemitah is not really, I mean, for one thing, the Orach HaNer points out, I mean, Shemitah, everything is hefker, so the Levi is on an equal footing with everybody else. Nobody has a nachla that year, effectively. But
one of the Shemitahs is not present.
What do you mean?
We still do
Maaseh Rishon.
Rishon,
yeah. Rishon and Sheni, or Rishon and Ani, as the case may be. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash to do Maaseh Sheni to bring it to your Shalayim. So we redeem it on a coin and we destroy the coin to oversimplify things. It's more, a little more complicated than that, but that's just, we're still high. Mm-hmm.
How do we, in practice?
I don't know how it's done in Israel, but in principle, you have to. I mean, one thing to keep in mind, Maaseh Rishon has no Kedusha. Once you give it to the Levi, he's allowed to do whatever he wants with it. He can turn around and give it right back to you. Yeah. This, by the way, an interesting tidbit of linguistics. This is why an inheritance is called in Hebrew nachla, is also related to the word nachal, which means a stream. A stream goes on, keeps on flowing on, and so does a nachla.
Inheritance.
Yeah. Okay. Tanya idach. We learn in another braisa, or Tanya namihachi. The pasuk says kisachal alasev egoyim. This pasuk that talks about finishing off and giving your meiser at the end of the third year. And we said it calls it Shnasa Meiser. Again, means Shana Shein Baal Meiser Echad. It means a year that only has one Meiser of the Meiserists that we had in previous years. Okay, said Meiser Rishon and Meiser Ani. It means you have Meiser Rishon and you have a new Meiser this year, Meiser Ani. Or Meiser Sheni, you bottle, Meiser Sheni goes away. Yachalach Meiser Rishon Nami, you bottle. You would think that Meiser Rishon also disappears. Talmud Lomar, here we have this bride to give the different pasuk. The pasuk says, Uva HaLevi. The Levi should come and you give him his Meiser. This is actually the context over there, is the Torah is talking about Meiser Ani. But nevertheless, so a Meiser Ani, he was saying, is only the third and sixth year. But nevertheless, the Torah says the Levi comes as well as the poor people, which implies you always have what to give the Levi, which means calls man Shabbat Tenlai. Whenever he comes, no matter which of the 6 years, you give him his Meiser. So therefore, Meiser tradition always exists. Give me Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov. I'm ain't a tzarech. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says, I don't even need. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says, we don't need that. I have a different pasuk. We have the pasuk we quoted before. Speak to the Levim and tell them, when the Jewish people give you the Meiser, which I gave you from them as your inheritance, the pasuk is therefore comparing it to an inheritance. Just like a Nachla has no end, neither does Meiser Rishon. So Meiser Rishon lasts all 6 years. So this second opinion in the Braiser, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, is exactly what we were saying before, what Rabbi Shulman Levi was saying, how we know that Meiser Rishon always continues. And before I say why did Rabbi Lezman Yaakov need a different pasuk? What's wrong with the pasuk of our Levi? He says because all it could mean is fine. In the third year, the Levi comes along with all the poor people, and you give him Meiser Ani. Still doesn't show there's a separate Meiser reserved for him. Only this pasuk made him. And Nachalas Chama shows that in all years there's a separate Meiser reserved for him besides what you give to the besides him. And the poor person is all the Levi is also entitled to it as a poor person because he has no Nachla and no Yisrael. He's entitled to Meiser Ani. But in addition, he has a Meiser reserved specially for him, Meiser Rishon. He would argue, I guess, that still the pasuk says Vah Halevi, which implies the Levi is something special.
Yeah,
okay. The second pasuk.
What
he would do with the pasuk for Nachalaschem, I don't know. He would say, okay, it's a Nachla, very nice. Doesn't mean that it doesn't have a break. Then we had the Braised said the Nedarim Bechola. The Braised said that Rosh Hashanah is that Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah is also the Rosh Hashanah as far as Nedarim. What does that mean? Tana Rabbanan. Hamudah Hanah Mechaver Mishana Lashana. If somebody makes a neder not to have Hanah from his friend for an entire year, Moina Shnei Masa Chodesh Miyem Liyem. It means you have to count a full 12-month period before you can have Hanah from him again. From that time, the Im Amal Lashana Zu. But if he said, I'm vowing not to have Hanah from you this year. Even if you only made the neder on the 29th of Elul, given Shigia, Yom Echad B'Tishrei, also Hashana, as soon as Rosh Chodesh Tishrei comes, then the year is up, he can have Anah from the other guy again. Even according to the opinion we had before, we had on Yudam and Beis, we had the Machloek Tanoim, how much of a year there needs to be in order for it to be considered a year. Rav Meir had said one day, but then we had opinions that said that you need as much as 30 days. Rav Eliezer had said that you need a full month. But even according to that opinion, even according to that opinion, that one day in a year cannot be considered a whole year, in this case, he agrees with it. Because what did he make this neder for? He wanted to be mitzayer himself. He wanted to cause himself to feel pain. He felt it for a day that he can't have a nod from the other guy. So therefore, that's good enough. It's good enough. But the rule is that therefore he's good. The question is, the Gemara asks the Eimon Nissen. Why don't you say that Rosh Hashanah l'Nedarim for this purpose is Nissen? So say if he made the Neder Chof Tes El, we have to wait half a year. The answer is the general rule throughout Shas. But Nedarim Halach Achaloshim Ne'adim. When it comes to Nedarim, you go according to your common usage. Common usage is this year ends Chof Tes El, not Chof Tes Alter. And therefore that's what you go according to. I think we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, because it's a kind of a new topic about this whole business of when things become chayiv and ma'aser.